Before that, I've been a pastor for 30 years. I've been a special education teacher for 7. I've worked with the reentry court for 12, done addiction recovery groups. And so my wife would always say this about my speaking. She goes, honey, your speaking's a lot like your weight. The less of you is better than more of you. And so, anyway, keep it short, keep it simple. And, it's great to be here tonight. Marvin's a good friend. And what I want to talk about, just along with that, if you look in the Bible, what does it say about what's the most important thing? Bible even talks about that. They even asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment? And that's just what I want to look at tonight. Before I do it, I just want to pray a blessing, all right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. I just thank you for everyone here. It's just, I just enjoyed the talk around the table over the meal. And Father, now as we share, Father, I just ask, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And so, someone even asked that. I'm looking in Matthew chapter 22. One of the experts in the law tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? What's the most important thing? Jesus replied, does anyone know what the answer is? Ever heard it? Kind of want to hear, isn't it? It was really simple. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So they asked Jesus, what's the most important thing to do? He didn't say, attend church. He didn't say, give money to the church. He didn't say, listen to the pastor's sermons. And I hate to say that because I'm a pastor. He said what? Love God. Have a relationship with me. It's to love God. The most important thing is to know God as a friend and as God, that He wants to know us. Now, it's interesting. Most people think if you're a pastor, you've grown up going to church. I never went to church growing up as a kid. I was this big in sixth grade. Guess what I did? I grew up in Indianapolis. I played basketball because I grew up in Indy. Now, if I'd grown up in Florida Gator country, I would have been a football player, or Tennessee football player. So I grew up and I didn't have a relationship with God. And to talk about what it means to have a relationship with God, one of the best ways I thought of explaining it is to talk about a dating relationship. Now, maybe you can think back in dating relationships. And we're putting some age here with me, because again, you're thinking, I am old. I'm 57. So, the first stage of your dating relationship is the elementary stage, when you're in elementary school. Now, do you remember when I was in elementary school in second grade, and if I got home at night at dinner and my other sister said, so-and-so girl likes you, what did I say at the dining room table?
You.
Ooh, you're right. Oh, I hate girls. Girls are ugly. I'm never going to want to know a girl. And so on the playground, remember what would happen? Girls would chase you, and what happened with the guy? You would run, be screaming, because in an elementary stage of a relationship, what is, girls are awful. And there's a lot of people have that elementary relationship with God, saying what? The Bible says it this way. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Maybe you've been like that before. When I was in junior high, I never had thought of God. I never considered God. God wasn't even a spirit in my life. It was like in elementary school with a girl. Cooties. I never thought of God. There's a lot of people I know, they have that elementary relationship with God. They just think, that's nothing. There is no relationship with God. Maybe you're there. But as you get older, you get to junior high. And when you get to junior high and dating, it changes. Now, I can remember this. What's fun about Facebook now is you can find my class. We're going to celebrate our 40th class reunion next year. So we've got a Facebook page, and it's neat keeping up with people. So when I was in junior high, again, I was this tall, and I liked Joni a lot. Really liked Joni. And they say if Joni was there, and her best friend was Angie. Right? So in junior high, would a junior high boy go straight up to Joni and ask her out? No. What would the junior high boy do?
Talk to Angie.
He would talk to Angie.
That was weird.
Angie would talk to Joni. Joni would talk to my friend Mike, who would talk to me. Joanie and I dated for 6 months, and I don't think we ever talked to each other because we were talking to other friends. Remember, that's junior high, right? It's junior high. A lot of people have a junior high relationship with God. What do I mean by that? They go to church. They hear a pastor talk about God. Or they come to Monday night. They hear Marvin talk about God. But they never talk to God. The most they have is a third-person relationship. It's their relationship with God. They might think you're supposed to have one. They've changed from elementary school, that there is no God, oh, that's nothing. Now they consider it, but they never talk to God directly. It's what someone else they hear talk about God. There's a lot of people that have a junior high relationship with God. Then the next is what? Senior high. Now, I can remember being in senior high. I was a senior. I liked being a senior. Our basketball team was ranked in the state back in 78, the blizzard of 78. And so I liked this girl, Mitzi. Doesn't Mitzi sound like she was a cheerleader? She was a cheerleader. And I decided I was going to ask Mitzi out for homecoming. And so I practiced in the mirror, seriously did, asking Mitzi out. Hey, Mitzi, it's Jim. Would you like to go to homecoming? I mean, I practiced. I wasn't going to go to her friend because I'm a senior. I was going to go straight to Mitzi. And I can remember this as clear as day. I went to Mitzi, waited after class where she was going to be, and I went up to her with confidence. Hey, Mitzi, I just want to ask you, do you want to go to a homecoming with me this coming Friday and afterwards? And she said yes. But that's all I had prepared for. I didn't prepare for the next step. What was the next question? Oh, what are we going to do after homecoming? Because everyone had all the events. You would go out to dinner, you'd go to a party. And I said, I haven't thought that far. I don't know. I just was working on this. Mitzi did go with me to homecoming, but because of my great planning, she never went with me to anything ever again. Some people have that senior high relationship with God. What do I mean with that? You actually think, you know, I go to church and it's just not what the pastor talks about, Jesus and God. I'm supposed to talk to Him. And so you might pray, you might go to church, and you might read the Bible, but it stops there and you never consider this, that God who created you and who loves you actually wants to speak to you. Actually wants to be involved in your life. He just doesn't want you to say hi and walk away. He wants to be engaged. You know, I've known a lot of people who have a senior high relationship with God. They go to church and they might pray to God, but they don't think God is involved in their life. And then you get to college. Now in college, this is where my wife really likes this part of the story because it's about her. She doesn't like the other ones. So when I got to college, I was at Indiana University. She was at Purdue University. We met through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I never wanted to go to Purdue. If you're any Purdue fans here, any IU fans, don't matter. I mean, Purdue is, it's like the Gator and Tennessee fans. You don't like each other. Okay, these guys were talking about the game. Not to rub it in, but it was an incredible ending for the Gators on Saturday. That was just incredible. So anyway, I never wanted to go to Purdue to see their Fellowship Christian Athletes meeting until I met Christy at a retreat. And then all of a sudden they asked me if I wanted to go to one of their meetings. And I said, of course I want to go to one of your meetings. Of course. And I brought my friend with me and we went and we go to the meeting. And afterwards I meet someone that I knew from IU and she goes, hey, I've got my fiance. You haven't met him. Do you want to go meet him with me? And I said, well, sure. And I go, Chris, you want to go with me? She goes, sure. Then my friend Keith, who I brought to this meeting, goes, well, how about me? Oh, Keith, why don't you go with those? And so I left him in the dust. And then that couple couldn't meet with us, so I'm alone with Christy, which was kind of my ultra plan anyway. And I can remember walking with Christy, talking with her and just thinking, man, I really like her. But you've got to talk to her and expect her she's going to talk back. I wasn't talking to her friend, and I wanted to talk. And we began to talk, and all of a sudden, God was just uniting our hearts. And I began to ask her, are you dating anyone? And when I asked that, this is the true story, I began to go, Chris, are you dating anyone? And I actually was moving the dirt. And I'm thinking, literally, being the suave guy that I was, you're asking her feet out. And so I literally went like this. I said, Chris, are you dating anyone? I really like you. I'd like to get to know you. I knew Christy was a girl for me, and this is literally what happened. She responded this way. No, I'm not dating anyone. And she began to move dirt. Literally, that's what she did. And I literally put my finger under her chin, and she lifted her face up and looked eye to eye. And she goes, you know, I'm not dating one, and I really like you, too. Does God want a relationship like that with us? Yes, he does. Matter of fact, it says this about Moses, and this is in Exodus 33. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. You see, having a relationship with God, what Jesus says, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's to have a relationship. It's to talk to God, and he's going to respond back. And the thing I want to let you know is that God passionately loves you. See, I didn't grow up going to the church. I never went to church. I was this big, playing basketball, and I was lonely. I was this big in sixth grade. I learned to be a sinner. I got to be in high school. I wasn't the star on the team anymore. I wasn't the big man on campus. I was lonely, and I heard a guy talk about that the purpose of life was not basketball, it's a relationship with God. And the guy that said this had just won a national basketball trophy. He was the number one draft pick in the NBA. And he said, I would give all of that up to know Jesus Christ. And I said, he has everything I want with basketball, but he says Jesus is the purpose of life. I read the Bible for the year. I went to church. And on August 7th, 1977, I became a Christian. I repented of my sins and I said, Jesus, I want to know you face to face. I want to be like Moses. I want to talk to you and know you. And I became a child of God. What I did not know, how much that was going to change my life. I did not know that a relationship with God is life. Jesus said this, now this is eternal life. And when you think, now this is eternal life, we think of what? Heaven. But he doesn't say, and I'm going to go to heaven because of Jesus. But he says this, now this is eternal life that you may know God. I want to ask you, what type of relationship do you have with God? Jesus says the greatest commandment was what? To love God. What type of relationship do you have? You might be in elementary, you don't think there is a God. Maybe it's junior high, you're not really talking to God, you're hearing others talk about God. Maybe it's a senior high. Yeah, you're kind of praying to God, but you never expect God to speak to you. You don't pursue him passionately. Or do you have a face-to-face relationship with Jesus Christ and to know him? Because what we want to tell you is that's what changes your life. Because Jesus went on to say what? The second commandment is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's to love others. Because what I found is I began to love God, what happens? God changes your heart. Because what happens at first? Before I knew God, I was pretty selfish. I used to joke, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't kiss girls. I was lustful, selfish, cheated, and I spent a night in jail, and I can remember my parents picking me up out of jail. I needed a relationship with God. I needed forgiveness. And when I became a Christian, something happened. I had some people come alongside me. Like you're talking with Marvin. And I had some people say, it's just the purpose of having a relationship with God isn't to attend church or to attend meetings. You go to the church with the purpose of growing in love to know God and talk to him face to face. And I had Roger Kodak meet me when I became a Christian, a senior in high school. I went off to college at Indiana University. And he did the same thing. He met me every week at the Indiana Memorial Union. He took me out. We'd have a Coke. And he taught me how to read the Bible. He taught me how to pray. He taught me to think less of myself and more of others. He taught me about what it was to have a relationship with God, how to be a godly man, how to care for others. And I realized that, again, the second commandment to love others as yourself. The purpose of life was not me. It's to love God and to help others. And that's what this is about. Because I met with Judge Serbeck. I worked with Judge Serbeck from 2000 to 2012. I was a faith-based director of Allen County Reentry Court. I trained all the mentors. I did addiction recovery groups. And I went to the judge and I said this. And it would be like someone like you. I said, Judge, you just got to know this. And this was when they started the reentry court. I said, I have a master's degree. I've had a measure of success. I said, if I came out of prison and had to do what you're expecting everyone to do in this court, I don't think I could do it without someone helping me. And you've got people here who don't have a master's degree and a bachelor's degree. They need someone to come alongside because they've never had the pattern succeed. And the judge listened. What's interesting about the judge, a side note, Judge Serbeck, you know him? So I looked at his degree and I said, Judge, I see that you were at Indiana University when you got your law degree. I said, did you ever eat at the Gables restaurant? He goes, matter of fact, I did. I worked there. I go, yeah, it's on Indiana, right by the Bell Tower. Yeah, my grandfather and his brothers own that restaurant, Judge. He goes, matter of fact, you might have saw me running around. He goes, matter of fact, in 67, I couldn't go home to Philadelphia. I was with your family for the Easter dinner because we're a Greek family. There were 60 of us. Oh, yeah, Judge, I was a six-year-old running around that time at the dinner. And I looked at Judge and I said this, everyone needs someone to come alongside to help them to grow in the relationship with God. I've had that. And it changed my life. And you know, now what I like to do is what God, to love someone else as God commands, is to come alongside someone else. And just not to help to achieve the court, not to help to get a job. But the biggest thing is that the most important thing in life is knowing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If that's the most important thing in life, is to have someone come alongside to help you grow in that relationship. And so I've got a car out there. I bought this car from Kelly Chevrolet, brought Robert in it. Bought back 2009 from Steve. Got to know Steve. And I found out in 2015, December, Steve had prostate cancer. And he had 2 years to live. And I didn't know Steve well, but you know, I was like, wow, I like Steve. He was a non-honest salesman. So I called him up in January 2016 and said, hey, I heard your diagnosis. I'd like to come alongside and take you out to lunch and hear more about it. So I took him out to lunch. And I talked to Steve and we sat down at IHOP. He loves sausage gravy. I do too. And we talked about his family, and I heard about his wife. I heard about his divorce, how she left him for another guy. I heard about his two kids. He liked to skydive, had over 1,000 jumps. He jumped off a mountain peak and skydive. I saw all the pictures. Heard he went to church some, but he didn't have a relationship with God. And I asked him a spiritual question. I said, if you were to stand before God, Steve, and he would ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Has anyone ever been asked that question? Yeah. If you were to stand before God right now and he'd say, well, why should I let you heaven? What would you say? Steve said, you know, I've tried to be an honest man. I'm a good man. And I'd get to heaven because of that. I said, you know, Steve, you are an honest man. Matter of fact, that's why I bought cars from you. I trust you. But, you know, God's standard is different than our standard. You might be honest compared to other people, but God has a standard that's much higher. Can we look at God's standards on how you compared to others? He goes, okay. I said, have you ever lied? He goes, yeah. Or what do you call someone who lies? Liar. You know, Steve, have you ever stolen anything? That can be cheating on a test, cheating on your taxes, taking something that's not yours. He goes, oh, yeah. What do you call someone who steals? Thief. Because Steve, Jesus says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And adultery, Jesus went on to say, it's not only in the Ten Commandments, that's lust in your heart, pornography. Have you ever done that? Yeah. I go, Steve, you've just admitted to me that you're a lying, thieving, adulterous person at heart. If you stood before God, would you be innocent or guilty? And he goes, I'd be guilty. I said, if you're guilty, would you go to heaven or hell? And the Bible says, If you're lying, you go to hell. He goes, well, I'd go to hell. I said, do you know what God's done for you so you don't have to go to hell? And he goes, no. And I told him that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for his sins and for my sins. And Jesus took his punishment. And then he rose from the dead 2,000 years ago to show he had power over sin. And that, Steve, the only way for Jesus to impact you is you have to repent of your sins, not trust in your goodness to get to heaven. not realize that selling cars is a purpose of life, but the purpose of life is to know God in a relationship through Jesus. And you have to repent and receive Christ. You want to do that? And he said, no. I said, that's okay. I said, Steve, you know, you're dying. He goes, I know. I said, I'm not scared of death. Matter of fact, as a pastor, I've held a lot of people's hands when they died. Can I start getting with you? He goes, sure. We got together every 6 to 8 weeks for a meal. And we talked about Jesus. We talked about death. We talked about family. I gave him the movie, Do You Believe, that we gave out at Christmas here. 4 weeks ago, we were supposed to go out to lunch. I've had meals at his house. He's had meals at my house. We've talked about Jesus. And I said, if you were going to stand before God tonight, Steve. And he said, why should I let you in heaven? What would you say? He goes, oh, 4 weeks ago, I don't know. Am I good enough? I said, you know, Steve, there's two things that are different about us. He goes, what's that? I go, I know for sure if I die right now, I'm going to go to heaven because I know Jesus. You don't know where you're going to go right now if you die. He goes, yeah, you're right. So there's another difference that we have. He goes, what's that? You know you're going to die in 2 months, and I don't know when I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, for the first time, I saw fear in his eyes. And he asked me, what did Jesus do for me again? He said, he died on the cross for your sins. It'd be like just the crime that you committed. You stand before a judge, and the judge says, you know, I'm going to put that punishment on Jesus. He's taken the penalty. He's taken the prison. You're not only free, you're innocent. That's what Jesus did. 4 weeks ago, Steve prayed to receive Jesus with me. He's now in hospice care. I was just with him Thursday. I'll see him tomorrow, holding his hand, praying with him, sharing with his family. And you know what's interesting? He thanks me over and over for telling him about Jesus. Because he's close. I want to ask you, what type of relationship do you have? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you been forgiven of your sins? It's just not going to church, but it's what the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. And what I want to tell you is this. God loves you. He knows you. He knows what you've done. He knows what I've done and Marvin done, and he forgave us through Jesus. But we have to receive that gift. It'd be like, if I'm going to give this to you as a gift, the gift's right there, but what do you have to do for it to be yours? You have to take it. And you need to take the forgiveness of Jesus. And then when you take it, you're going to see something happen. Jesus is going to change you, that you're going to begin to think to help others. He changes you. It's from the inside out. It's not just trying to help others. He moves you to love others. You know, the greatest commandment is not going to church. The greatest commandment, what does God want you to do? It's not giving money to the church. The greatest commandment is to love God. The purpose of life is to have a relationship. So I came tonight, and I was, right before I came, I was a little right on time, but I was rushing, leaving. My mother-in-law was having her 86th birthday. My granddaughter was there, and I got cake, and she's diving for the cake, dive bombing for the cake. Great joy. My wife is there. What do you remember most in life? It's relationships, isn't it? What did you miss most in prison? It was relationships. You were talking about your daughter today and going to Broadway, seeing her this weekend. You were talking about your wife when I was taking you. We know intrinsically the most important thing in our life is what? Relationships with others. Right? We know that. But on top of that, God made you to have that relationship with others, but he made you first to have a relationship with who? Him. You're not alone. He loves you. He's forgiven. He knows the worst about you and me, and he's forgiven us through Jesus. He wants you to know him face to face, and when you know him, he's going to move you to help others. Jesus loves you. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for the group here tonight. I thank you for your love for us through Jesus. And I thank you that you want to have a relationship with us. Help everyone here. If someone doesn't know you, help them to receive you as their Savior and Lord. And Jesus, help us with the struggles of this week, the pressures of life, that we are not alone. That you want to help us, you want to strengthen us, and you want to encourage us to live this life. For the purpose of life is to love and to know and to walk with you. Amen.